Friendship is something that everybody instinctively values. Is that not true? We all long for belonging and for loyalty, for support and a shared life. These are God-given needs, and even unbelievers recognize rightly what the Bible affirms in the area of friendship. Things like loyalty and kindness, honesty, and standing by someone when relationships truly matter. Friendships are highly prized in our culture. But sadly, it is often pursued without biblical wisdom, without really thinking deeply about what a friendship ought to be, without recognizing actually how deeply friendships affect and shape our own hearts, our characters, and our spiritual direction. In Australia, we value mateship, don't we? People who are like us, and people who can share life with us. People who can stand by us, or people who will have our backs. And there's something admirable about that. But when mateship becomes detached from God, then it can drift into something that becomes like an uncritical loyalty, or the opposite in friendships. When right and wrong becomes blurred, sin becomes excused for the sake of belonging. I don't know if you've experienced this and seen it in relationships. And when truth in a relationship is compromised, then friendships start to take on a very different character. We also see today a very strong emphasis on ensuring that children have friends. Now, while it is good to have healthy friendships, it actually can become quite an imbalanced focus. This thing of peer friendships, when it loses sight of other important relationships in life, like with our parents or with other siblings or with older people, older Christians, or relationships in the church, and above all, with God Himself. So, whilst we must not undervalue the importance of peer friendships, we should also not overvalue it. The Bible calls us for something deeper than merely having friends, but rather having the right kind of friends. Friendships that are shaped by truth, by holiness, and by a shared pursuit of God. So, what does the Scripture teach us about friendships? Well, it leads us into at least three different directions. Firstly, friendship with God versus friendship with the world. Then also, the danger of ungodly friendships. And thirdly, the beauty of godly friendships. So let's think first of friendship with God versus friendship with the world. At the very root of all friendships lies this deeper question: does our hearts love God or the world? Where is our affection sitting? The Scriptures do not treat this as a minor issue. It presses us to think of the unavoidable dividing line when it comes to the idea of friendships. For example, James, I quoted him a bit earlier. He confronts the issue of friendships head on in chapter 4 and verse 4. He says, friendship with the world is enmity against God. And James is addressing believers who have divided hearts. Hearts who claim on the one side to know God and to be friends with God, but at the same time, they have competing desires for the world. And James calls that spiritual adultery. And the world that he is talking about is not the world as in the created order of things, but rather the world in terms of the system of things that are opposed to God, marked by pride and also self-rule and sinful desires. So when we bind ourselves closely with those things, forming friendships with the world, it is not a small compromise. It is really to take sides against God. Friendship with the world versus friendship with God. John himself, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, echoes this idea. He says, do not love the world. Because anyone who loves the world, the love of God is not in them. Wanting sinful things, loving things that we know are wrong, that's loving the world. Being proud and also think that we have no need for God. These things pull our hearts away from God. Jesus himself draws this line very clearly. Love for God versus love for the world. In John chapter 15, verse 18 and 19, he says to believers that the world will oppose those who belong to him. And Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to the world. In other words, don't love the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Because the patterns of the world and the affections for the world, as opposed to that for God, they are opposed. Fundamentally opposed. Now all this leads us to a very clear conclusion. We cannot love God and love the world at the same time. This is why friendships matter so deeply. Our relationships are spiritual pathways. They either draw us to God or they pull us away from God. Well, flowing directly from that, contrast between friendship with God and friendship with the world, Scripture presses this sober warning on us. When we walk with someone, we are shaped by them. Ungodly friendships, in other words, are not neutral. They are spiritually formative. And they are also subtly persuasive, and they are ultimately destructive. Ungodly friendships. The Bible shows us that sin commonly comes through relationships, through influence, and through companionship. Does that make sense to you? That's often how we are drawn into ungodly and sinful ways, through friendships. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 to 19 begins with one of those fatherly pleas. In verse 10, my son or my daughter, if sinners entice you, ungodly friends, do not consent. Now the problem is with sin is that it is usually presented not as something crude or obviously destructive at first. No, it can masquerade itself in the form of a friendship. and be quite attractive, persuasive, and relational. It comes with an invitation. As Proverbs 1 verses 11 to 14 says, well, come with us. Throw in your lot with us, and we will all have one purse. So the first danger of ungodly friends is enticement. Attraction. Sin recruits through the relationships. It speaks warmly. It draws in. It seems like something harmless. Even rewarding. Verse 15 of Proverbs chapter 1. Come, walk with us is the invitation. We shall find precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder, verse 13. But what lies beneath the surface? What appears to be merely friendship at first ends up in ruin. Verse 19. Such are the ways of those who are greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. So firstly, ungodly friends enticing. Number two, danger number two of ungodly friends is corruption. Companionship shapes character. And that character, if it comes through ungodly friends, lead to corruption. Proverbs 13 verse 20 is clear. Excuse me. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer. The influence often is gradual at first. Have you ever find yourself having your accent changing? How does a person's accent change? Well, it is spending time with somebody of a different accent. Then we find that our accents change. We are affected by those that we are close to and those that we spend lots of time with. Habits are absorbed over time. We should not be ignorant of that. So too values, desires, moral instincts. We are creatures of imitation. This is why Paul warns. Bad company corrupts. Can you complete the sentence? Good morals. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33. Well, think of birds. Birds flying in formation. Have you ever watched them? They don't choose independently where they're going. No. They just adjust their movements according to the birds around them. And the direction of the whole group slowly moves in the direction of each individual bird. Similarly, harm through bad relationships comes gradually, slowly. Sometimes we don't even notice it. Shaping those according to the ones that they keep company with closely. As the English proverb says, breed or like breeds like. This is captured very vividly in Psalm 1 verse 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Do you see that progression that Psalm 1 is talking about? It begins firstly with this casual exposure, standing in the path of sinners. But then, gradually, it moves to standing, not walking, but standing. And eventually, a settled identity, sitting in the seat of scoffers. At first, sin, when it is observed, later on, no longer observed, then we tolerate sin, and then finally we practice it. And it all starts with being in the wrong crowd. Oh, parents can see this so clearly with their children. And habits, once they form, they are very difficult to break. Friendships, therefore, is not just companionship. It is formation. That's the second danger when it comes to ungodly friends. Formation, which leads to corruption. The third danger of ungodly friends is destruction. Destruction. Proverbs chapter 1 ends with a chilling conclusion. Verse 18. Those who follow this path lie in wait for their own blood. It takes away the life of its possessors. That's the problem with sin and sinful companionship. It always over-promises and it under-delivers in the end. It doesn't merely lead astray. What does it do? Well, ultimately, it destroys. Scripture reveals real-life examples of this downward pull of ungodly friendships. Have you ever heard of a character by the name of Jeroboam and Rehoboam? Now, Rehoboam was Solomon's son. We read about him in 1 Kings chapter 2. And he's a very good example of listening to the wrong voices, to wrong friends. So the time came that he became king in Israel. And so the man, Jeroboam, and some of his friends came to Rehoboam. And he asked him, well, please make lighter our burdens. Lift the burdens which your father Solomon placed on our lives. And so what did he do? Well, he rejected the counsel of the elders, went to them and asked what he should do. And instead, he turned to the advice of his peers. And so they urged him to be tough by being harsh. So he said to Jeroboam, my little finger is going to be thicker than my father's waist. And so wanting the approval and the status that he would have amongst his mates, following their advice, he found in the end it to be absolutely catastrophic. What looked to him like relational preference ended up to become a national disaster. Because of that act, the whole kingdom in Israel was divided. Ungodly influence, boosted by pride, silenced wisdom in him. Why? Because of his ungodly friends. Another example is a man by the name of Amnon. This time, one of David's sons. We read about him in 2 Samuel chapter 13. And he shows to us how counsel can become an instrument of sin. So he was consumed, if you don't know the story, he was consumed by lustful passion for his sister, his half-sister Tamar. And so he was advised by his friend, Jonadab, a very crafty man. So this so-called friend provided a strategy for him for gratification, leading Amnon into deceit, rape, and eventual ruin. It's a very sad story, but sobering. Temptation, bad counsel by a bad friend, sinful action, followed by devastation in the end. A single voice of influence can direct and ruin a life. Examples like these show unmistakably the pattern. Wrong companions distort thinking. They weaken convictions. and they accelerate sin in our lives. What begins with a conversation becomes conformity. What begins with companionship becomes captivity. And the devil has few better helps to ruin people's souls than using ungodly friends. What is your experience? Have you seen this kind of thing for yourself? Well, that's why Scripture repeatedly warns us, do not go along the path with ungodly friends. Hold back your foot from their path, Proverbs 1 verse 15. Do not make friends with a man given to anger, Proverbs 22, 24 and 25. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 17. The issue is not ordinary contact with the world, but deep, shaping friendship and fellowship that forms character. That's what we should be on the lookout for. So the warning is urgent. We should take care with the people that we spend time with, the voices we listen to, the influences that we allow to shape our lives. We should resist paths that leads away from God. And we should choose our friends, therefore, carefully. Carefully. Yet this warning also prepares us for the way forward, because if ungodly friendships entice, corrupt, and lead to destruction, then godly friendships becomes one of God's chief means through which He strengthens, sanctifies, and sustains faith. The exact opposite to ungodly friendships. Proverbs gives us the vision very simply but powerfully for godly friendships. Proverbs 13 verse 20, which I've mentioned a moment ago. Whoever walks with the wise become wise, but the companions of fool will suffer harm. The proverb is saying to us there's real power in companionship. We've been looking at that and thinking about that, shaping the direction of our lives either into harm, negatively, or positively into God's wisdom. Those who fear the Lord are wise, Proverbs 1 verse 7 and 9 verse 10. And to walk closely with the wise is to grow in wisdom ourselves. As simple as that. True friendship is therefore not simply defined by convenience or shared interests, but through genuine love and care across every season of life, even the hard times. Proverbs 17 verse 17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. When life is easy, many friends appear. But in adversity, it is the true friends that we end up with. In fact, true friends become like brothers. Brothers are the ones who are born for adversity, given to us by God as true friends. Proverbs chapter 27 develops this picture of godly friends in fuller detail. That's the passage that Bill read for us. Proverbs 27 verse 5 and 6. Better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. True friends, what do? They speak with us honestly. even when it hurts at the time, because it is for our good. That's a true friend. Proverbs 27 verse 9. The sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. A true friend gives us wise counsel, especially when we need to hear wise counsel. And how refreshing and invigorating those words of wisdom are. Proverbs 27 verse 10. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother far away. A true friend is somebody who is reliable, but present. Is that not the point of a friend? Especially in times of need. Proverbs 27 and verse 17. As iron sharpens iron. Have you heard that one before? One man sharpens another. A true friend sharpens and shapes the character towards godliness. A godly friend is somebody who lovingly, therefore, tells the truth, who faithfully supports, who actively encourages our lives towards holiness and nearness to God. The New Testament expands on this vision into the life of the community of God's people, the church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, believers, we are told, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship and prayer and breaking of bread and shared life. And this association of the early believers was not just a casual association with one another. No. It was deep spiritual communion, marked by genuine joy, generosity, unity, and bearing one another's burdens. Isn't that a description of godly, vital, good friendship? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 commands believers not to neglect meeting together, but to stir one another up into faith and good works. Well, good friends would do that for one another. Godly friendship is really one of the main ways that God helps us to grow in our faith and to stay close with Him. No Christian can grow on their own. Growth in spiritual maturity is relational and it is communal. Scripture then gives us also some flesh and blood examples of godly friendship. Think of David and Jonathan in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 18 and chapter 20. The friendship that the two of them had was marked by loyalty, sacrifice, protection of one another's lives under pressure. Jonathan risked everything to preserve David's life. He was a true, covenant, faithful friend of David. Think of the Apostle Paul and Timothy. For example, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and Philippians chapter 2, the relationship of spiritual mentorship and encouragement. This was a companionship between Paul and Timothy that stood the test of time, in which the Apostle Paul handed over the truth of God's word from one generation to another. We can see friends can be intergenerational. And then there's a very interesting example of godly friendship. The paralyzed man and his friends of Mark chapter 2 or Luke chapter 5. Now picture this scene. You might remember the four friends that brought their paralyzed friend on a mat to bring him to Jesus. What a picture of active, faith-filled friendship. So when they couldn't reach Jesus, what did they do? They got onto the roof, you know the story? And they opened up the roof tiles and lowered their paralyzed friend down into the presence of Jesus. They weren't put off by the crowd. Nothing was going to stop them. They refused to give up. Most strikingly, when Jesus saw it, he even remarked on their faith. He responded, showing that their determined faith for their friend was instrumental in their friend coming to Jesus and being healed. In each case, friendship becomes a means of God's sustaining grace in our lives. That is a godly friendship. Now, looking at all these rich friendship examples, none of them are the ultimate. They're only signposts pointing beyond themselves to a greater friend. Jesus Christ is the true and the perfect friend. In John chapter 15, won't you open to John chapter 15? Verse 12 to 15, we see there, Jesus said to his disciples, I have called you friends. The eternal Son of God calls sinners his friends. We heard about that this morning. Jesus, the friend of sinners. That is the heart of the gospel message. He defines friendship as supreme, sacrificial love. Look at John 15, verse 13. He says, greater love has no one than this, that somebody will lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus fulfills this at the cross. As Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 10 shows, that Christ dies for the weak, for the ungodly, for sinners, for his enemies. And this friendship of Jesus is not earned. It is grace that is expressed through substitutionary sacrifice. Jesus for his friends. All that the scriptures reveal about godly friendships finds their perfect and permanent fulfillment in Jesus Christ for everyone who believes. He is your true companion that leads you into life. He is your faithful friend who loves you at all times. He is the one who speaks the truth to you and heals you. He is the one who draws you near and is near to you, especially in your time of need. He is the one who shapes you into holiness. And above all, he proves his friendship to you by laying down his life for you, bringing you to God. Jesus is the true friend that sticks closer than a brother of Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. So let me ask you, do you know Jesus in this way? All godly friendship actually flows from him. Every true Christian's friendship echoes the love of Christ. He said to his disciples, John chapter 15, verse 12, love one another as I have loved you. And when we remain in the love of Jesus, we are enabled to love others with self-denying, Christ-shaped, persevering love. That is true godly friendship. We're going to just close with some applications. And the first is this. Before anything else, we must come to Jesus Christ, the true friend, because he's the one who loves sinners, who lays down his life for them, who never fails them, forgives them, offers them new life, true fellowship with God, and they only found in him. So, children, all of us, let us make sure we turn to Christ and fix our faith in him. And we will find truly the friend that our souls are made for. Christ is the true friend. And then all other friendships must be viewed in the light of that friendship. So, we need to assess our friendships. Because friendships are spiritual in nature. And your closest friends will either draw you to God or pull you away from God. So, we must choose our friends carefully. J.C. Ryle gives us some wise advice when it comes to choosing friends and assessing our friendships. Saying, we must never make an intimate friend of someone who is not a friend of God. Never make an intimate friend of somebody who themselves is not a friend of God. This doesn't mean avoiding non-Christians. No, not at all. But it does mean being very careful who we allow to shape our hearts. So, in order to choose friends that will benefit your soul. Choose friends that you can truly respect and lean on. Choose friends who love the Word of God and they are not ashamed to speak to you about it. Choose friends that you will choose to be at your deathbed. Choose friends that you will not be ashamed of at Christ's return. And remember, Proverbs 13, verse 20. Whoever walks with the wise will become wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. So some of our friendships, perhaps they need some distance or boundaries because they're pulling us away from God. Or others need greater investment if they help us to grow closer to God. David sets the standard for us. Psalm 119, verse 63. I am a companion of everyone who fears the Lord. Having considered who we choose as friends, we must next think about friendship itself. Our culture often sees friendship as having friends or people to chill out with, to have fun with, to be easy to be around with, to make life enjoyable. There's nothing wrong with enjoying our time with our friends. But is that really all we want? Because when life gets hard and we are being tempted, anxious or struggling, then we don't need somebody who is fun. Then we need somebody who will stand with us firmly, speak to us the truth, pull us back if we are drifting. The Bible helps us to see that friendships are deeper than convenience or entertainment. because it's always shaping us. So we need to ask whether we have adopted views that are actually biblical when it comes to friendships. Friendship is good, but friendships are not ultimate. God is ultimate. And so it's worth widening our vision so we consider who our friends are. God often shapes us, not just through people our own age, I mentioned it a bit earlier, but people from various ages. Not just people who share the same life circumstances than us. And this is really something for the young people. There are many friends that the Lord has for you. They're not all your own age. Through parents, siblings, older believers, even Christians from the past and their writings, even Christians or believers in the pages of the Scriptures, God offers us friendship, not to be overlooked. Of course, Jesus Christ Himself, the greatest friend. So real friendship will look past just the everyday of life. And these things are important, but help us to walk faithfully with God. Now, if friendships shape us, the question then naturally must turn inwards. What kind of friend are you? How will you describe yourself? Before looking at others, we should look at ourselves, right? Do we help others to walk with Christ faithfully? Or introduce Christ to them if they don't know Him? Do we speak the truth in love? Are we the ones with our friends who are able to resist sin? Or do we quietly affirm compromise? Or do we avoid the difficult truths? Remember, true friends strengthens faith, not just feelings. And if we're honest with ourselves, well, maybe we feel some conviction. Maybe some of us have had ungodly or been ungodly influences in some of our friendships. Or maybe some of us have neglected godly friendships that were available to us. If that is the case, well, let us not despair. Why not? Because we can come to Christ. We can come to Him who is the friend of friends, who will forgive us, who will restore us, and who will give us grace to start again and become a true godly friend, just like He is. Sometimes we may feel lonely and lack close friends. I don't know if that describes you. Well, that is not time to compromise if we lack good friends. But it is an opportunity for us to deepen our friendship with Christ, who never leaves His friends. And by the way, the Lord Jesus introduces us to all His other friends. That's where the church comes in. God gives us the church as the obvious place for godly friendships. Here is the place where believers are shaped by the Word of God, by prayer, by fellowship, and by shared life. So let us commit ourselves to the body of Christ, the family of believers, the great company of friends. Because deep soul-shaping friendships are formed where Christ is central and His people walk together in the truth. Well, may God make us godly friends. to one another in all our relationships, flowing from our friendship with God Himself.